This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. As the largest city in New Hampshire and the largest city north of Boston, the Queen City of Manchester has a long history, from its start as an industrial center in Milltown to a present-day hub for tech companies. Manch Vegas, as it is lovingly referred to by residents, gets a lot of attention in election years as a popular stop for candidates and news crews, but our next guest thinks it deserves the royal treatment every year. Will Stewart is a Southern expat, now Manchester resident, and author of a forthcoming guidebook all about the Queen City, from Hanover Hill to Wombeck Mill, An Insider's Guide to Manchester. Will, thanks for coming all this way from Manchester.
Thank you for Virginia.
You're not a Manchester native. When did you move to
I moved 12 years ago. So in the fall of 2004, I moved up from Tennessee, sight unseen, to the wild, cold, frozen Manchester, New Hampshire.
What brought you up here?
I was in journalism at the time and took a job writing as a reporter for The Hippo in Manchester, a local alt-weekly there.
So when did you realize that Manchester needed a guidebook?
Well, you know, I'd always been fascinated with the city, and perhaps it was coming with kind of fresh eyes and kind of seeing it anew. And, I've always found it interesting. But I was kind of dismayed through the years that a lot of people didn't seem to share my fascination and love of the city. And it really came to a head back in 2012 during the primary. And, a number of, as you mentioned, a lot of reporters are coming from all over the country and all over the world and reporting from Manchester. It's kind of ground zero for the primary. And so it was always Dateline Manchester. And usually they'd give just a kind of a cursory description of the city. It really didn't go beyond that. And the words they chose to describe the city were always invariably something like challenged or gritty. Something my favorite, you mentioned Manch Vegas being one of the nicknames. Manchganistan was the one that really caught my attention. And I admit it did make me laugh a little bit. But, all of that together kind of made me realize that, Manchester is really, it's misunderstood, I think, by a lot of outsiders. And it's unappreciated by those who live in the city itself.
What are the origins of Manch Vegas? Did you ever find that out?
I've heard and read various things. The one that has the most street cred is that the city, particularly back in the 80s, it was kind of a big draw, and people would come on Elm Street and cruise up and down, and said it kind of had the bright lights of Vegas. Manch Vegas.
I heard a rumor that there were underground casinos.
That's another one as well. And slot machines that paid out in the back room and those kinds of things. So I'd say there's probably a little truth to all of them.
Well, a lot of the city's history is based around the Mill Yard, which was where you started the book. How does the Mill Yard define the city today?
Well, I think it's the first thing that oftentimes people see. The first time I came to Manchester, I was coming up 93, took 293, and you kind of round the curve around the Merrimack, and you just see these mills, these massive brick buildings. They just really, they almost assault you. And I say that in a loving way, but they're the defining characteristic of the city, and they're such a fact that you can't ignore them. And Manchester from the beginning has been a company town until the demise of the Amersfoort Manufacturing Company during the Depression. But even so, it's from a physical standpoint, defines the city still, and I think it's deep in the psyche of Manchester. It will always be there.
And now the site of a number of tech companies and startups.
Correct, and I think it's really kind of a metaphor for the city itself. It's gone from being a company town in one industry, textiles, and they had a few other industries there too. But with the collapse of the company, the city, the Mill Yard, and the city itself really had to transform itself, and that's what it's done over the years. And going from textiles to really an assortment of tech. But also, the Mill Yard is home to all kinds of things, from climbing gyms to retail shops to cafes and coffee shops. And it really kind of runs the gamut. And it's a much more diverse place these days. And I think that's the lesson that Manchester has taken. We're not putting all our eggs in one basket anymore.
Another population, the French Canadians, who did come and answer the demand for workers at the Amersfoort mills in the 1800s. How does their legacy live on in Manchester?
Well, the west side of Manchester, of course, is the traditionally French or Quebecois side of the city. But I'll also note that it's, you know, it's not just the French Canadians that originally made the city diverse. They were the kind of the largest wave and the most well-known. But you also had a number of, you know, everyone from, you know, Belgians to Greeks to Ukrainians and Irish, of course, you know, they came in to work in the mills and make the city home. And the Manchester's always been a multicultural city. It's, I think today, it's definitely the most diverse city in the state, and you really owes that legacy, you know, to the Yamaskegs and to the Yamaskeg and to the French Canadians who were kind of the pioneers of that.
We're getting the insider secrets to Manchester, New Hampshire from Will Stewart, who is putting together a guidebook about the Queen City, From Hanover Hill to Wombeck Mill, An Insider's Guide to Manchester. You said earlier that Manchester, you know, it's secret to a lot of people. People don't know what's really going on, even for people who've lived there for years. What do you think it is about Manchester that makes it secretive?
You know, I think I've thought about this, and not to get too existential, but I think it's you know, kind of a piece of New Englanders in general, I think, tend to be, you know, very, you know, hold the cards close to the vest and you're just, I'm just going to do my work and, you know, you do yours, I'll mind my own business, you mind yours, and I'm not going to toot my own horn. And I think that's part of Manchester's challenge, is that it's always been a no-nonsense, you know, city that does what it does, and that's enough. It's never really had, I mean, we have the, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, like any city, and now it has an economic development office, you know, that's working to, you know, kind of, you wave the flag. But it's really, I think, like a lot of New England cities and states, does a poor job of celebrating itself and really talking about all the good things. And so as a result, there are all these great things. I like to say Manchester is a city of best kept secrets precisely for that reason. I mean, you know, for example, you know, I think of there's a weekly poetry slam, very well known and well regarded across the country in Manchester, in the Mill Yard, in fact, Slam Free or Die. There's a monthly silent film screening, you know, at the library done by a local guy named Jeff Rapsis, who provides piano accompaniment.
He's been on the show before.
Yeah.
That's great.
So you have all these, you know, great quirky little things. We were talking before we went on the air about a great little Vietnamese restaurant on Lincoln Street. It's very unassuming, but yeah, the noodles are great and the iced coffee, the Vietnamese iced coffee is great. I mean, we have, you know, some great big attractions that people do know about, your Courier Museum and your Mill Yard Museum and, you know, great restaurants like the Puritan Back Room and the Red Arrow. But, you know, for all of those well-known establishments, there are so many more unknown or relatively unknown establishments that I wanted to kind of help bring into the limelight and you really show people what a great city it is because we have all these things.
So are you willing to show us your aces there? I mean, any deep secrets that you want to share?
Well, you know, it's there are so many to mention. In the book, we have 500 individual listings from restaurants like the Vietnamese place. You know, also places like Cafe Momo is probably my favorite restaurant in the city. And then a lot of the interesting events and happenings, I think too, that are kind of secretive, like the Granite State Comic Con, you know, that we have, and like the Live Free or Die Tattoo Expo that happens. I mean, who would think of something like that? But these things are huge. We have, a marching band competition, every year, over at Memorial High School, where you have professional marching bands from all across the Northeast and Canada. Fascinating little things. There's a train car over on the west side called the Mercy Train Car. It was apparently back after World War II, every state in the Union received a boxcar, like a train boxcar, filled with goodies from France as a thank you for liberating the country during the war. Most, I think, have been lost to history across the country. But New Hampshire is just sitting off this little side street on the west side of Manchester, the French west side, encased in a little glass building. It's just a weird little, facet of history.
Well, connecting all of these secrets, you've got an illustrator working with you to create what, a map or illustrate some of these sites?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. A guy named Peter Noonan, a very well-known and respected illustrator in Manchester. People will often remember him from a big mural he had on the old Merrimack restaurant on the corner of Merrimack and Elm a few years ago, talking about the primary and painting some of the contenders, there. The book is divided into chapters by neighborhood or sections of the city. So he'll be doing a little map of each neighborhood, as well as some illustrations of, perhaps the Mercy boxcar, what I call the door to nowhere, another little odd and end that's in the, I think the official term is the town pound door. Back in the day, way back, 16, 1700s, each town would have a pound where loose, stray animals, farm animals were kind of gathered up and kept in a pen. Well, all that exists in Manchester these days, or Derryfield, as it was known originally, is just this door. And it's kind of a wooden door, has a little cement deal around it. That's it, just a door. So he'll be drawing little things like that, maybe some iconic signs, from across the city, from like, Creamland or the Puritan back room, to really bring some of these things to life.
I understand you're doing a Kickstarter campaign to help fund this.
That is correct.
How far is that going?
So far, so good. It runs through the end of October. Anyone can see it, link to it. We have a video that kind of explains the project. If you want to go to manchguide.com, that's the website for the book that can tell you a little bit more about it, but also links to the Kickstarter campaign as well.
That sounds great. It sounds like you're going to have this out before the next influx during the primary.
That is the goal, yes. The goal is to have it funded, printed and shipped in time for the holidays. So if you're looking for a good Christmas or Hanukkah gift, go to manchguide.com.
Will, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you, Virginia.
Will Stewart, he's a community organizer. He's an expat from the South and author of the forthcoming book, From Hanover Hill to Wombeck Mill, An Insider's Guide to Manchester. You can read more about the book at wordofmouthradio.org.